the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Michael Super Cool Beasley, Joe Alexander, Joey Devine, Jared Bayless, Costa Kufos, Sean Keane, J.R. Giddens, Sonny Weems, Patreons, John Lennon, thank you, John, Ethan Schiller, thank you, Ethan, Will Eusebio, thank you, Will, special guest, Keith Parrish, musical guest, Mudboy and the Neutrons, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's favorite guy. I don't know why. Comedian, basketball blogger, raconteur, man with a comedy album. Coming out soon, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I was just in New York City.
Oh, were you walking there?
I was walking there.
Did they have Knicks fever?
They did not have Knicks. I did not see any Knicks figure. I did not visit the Mecca, however.
Wow. Well, you know.
The new Mecca is, of course, the Sphere.
Yeah, that's my Mecca. God damn it, Sean. You said the Spheres, so you know what that means.
So I heard you brought a friend with you.
I did. One of my enchantresses. Would you like to meet Aura?
Hi, Aura.
Hello, Rosanna. I am Aura.
Jim, does Aura hug and kiss too? What is this? Who meets us and greets us when we come inside the sphere?
I don't know that she's going to hug and kiss you. You're not going to do that, are you, Aura?
If you are searching for someone to partake in physical affection, I am aware of several phone applications that might be able to assist you.
All right.
I hated that.
Don't mention the sphere, Sean. It's going to happen.
Well, there is a rap about it. The garden's the Mecca. Take a bus that's double decker from Tribeca.
All right.
Rastaman.
We cannot have multiple episodes that are supposed to be division previews where we talk about the sphere for 30 minutes.
Bono, yeah.
But Sean, and also have to play that Bono rap. Sean, there is one thing I want to talk to you before we get to the news, because it's not really news, but it's something that really made me laugh today.
Okay.
Did you see Josh Richardson's tweet today?
I did.
Yeah. He retweeted a Heat Nation blog that said, NBA scout implies Josh Richardson has a reputation of being a quote-unquote selfish locker room guy. And he tweeted, lol, I would love to see someone find one person from any organization I played for besides Dallas. And then in parentheses, had my personal issues there. Yeah. Call me selfish.
Wow. So there's at most 25 to 30 people in the NBA who would call him selfish. Mm-hmm. Is that what he's saying?
Sean, I would like to see any job I've ever worked besides besides the coffee shop in Carmel, California, mm-hmm. or that time I was briefly a sign waiver, claim that I was fired.
Yeah. I can imagine Alec Baldwin saying, like, aside from one film, is there anyone besides the cast and crew of Rust that would allege that I have killed a person on a movie set.
Anyway, I loved it. Good job, Josh Richardson.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Sean, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Sean, what's our top story today?
Our top story is, of course, Terry Stouts is out in Milwaukee. He's out. He resigned as the assistant coach. The Terry Stouts era in Milwaukee, the second one. Possibly the third one. Actually, he was an assistant coach.
I think it's the third one, right?
It's the third one.
Yeah.
It's over after just 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you what happened officially, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened. New coach Adrian Griffin had a team huddle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he wanted people to go to the coaching huddle. And Terry Stotts, instead of going to the coaching huddle, followed Giannis and Dame to talk about the offense, because they were going to go into some shooting drills. And then Griffin told him to get in the coaching huddle. And Stotts asked if he could have a couple moments with those players. And then Adrian Griffin yelled at him in front of the whole team. And yeah,
Adrian Griffin doesn't have any history of being
abusive.
An angry man, does he?
No, I don't think so. I can't okay, think of anything right. I've yeah. heard Good, about that.
I don't want to have to settle out of court for defamation like Adrian Griffin had to at one
point. Joey, what do you think the real story was?
I don't think Terry Stotts wants to coach Dame. I actually think Adrian Griffin is probably an unpleasant person to be around, and this was just the last straw.
I think he was fine with coaching Dame, but then he realized that Dame was still releasing music.
Yeah, he'd have to hear Dame's songs. That's a funnier joke. I should have come up with that on my own. I'm sorry, Sean.
That's all right.
On the plus side,
yes.
Do you know who's going to run the offense now?
I don't know.
For the Milwaukee Bucks. It's Joe Prunty.
Yes. Undefeated last year. Playoff coach
Joe
in
Prunty,
Milwaukee.
One of the funniest guys that just keeps hanging around.
Yeah. Look.
The interim coach of all interim coaches.
Yeah, I mean, now that J.B. Bickerstaff has graduated to real coach.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I mean, right? Mostly?
Yes, mostly. Joe Prunty, of course, is just hanging around waiting for Adrian Griffin to get fired in a pizza parlor so he can take half the season again as the Bucks coach. Which, if for those of you listeners that don't remember, Jason Kidd got fired from the Milwaukee Bucks at a pizza parlor.
Yeah. And
do you think Jason Kidd was drinking out of one of those big red plastic cups?
Yeah, I think he was. I think it would be real. I think, like, if he had a really long straw, it's funnier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's maybe the funniest if he has, like, a really large soda. And it's just in one of those, like, almost like a giant Dixie cup, that mm-hmm. style. And the straw's, like, too short to reach the bottom. So as he's getting fired, he's like kind of digging around to get mm-hmm. the last of the Diet Pepsi out.
Do you think...
Or he tries to spill it and he's like, oh, you can't fire me now. The clock's stopped.
Do you think Jason Kidd, when he got fired at the pizza parlor, remembered to grab the quarter he'd put on the Metal Slug 2 machine that he was holding his space in line?
I don't know. Can I read you an obnoxious quote?
Yeah, of course.
Terry Stotts resigned Thursday morning. Wednesday night, Lillard and Chris Middleton told reporters that they got a heads up. And Lillard said, Stotts reached out to him personally.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke directly. I don't expect anything different. We spend so much time around each other in this league. 7-8 months a year, practice every day, flights, hotels, dinners, watching film. we share a lot of intimate spaces. And like I said, being with him for 9 years and him being my head coach, me being the point guard of his team, we spent a lot of time around each other. We know each other really well. Even in the 2 years without him, we stayed in pretty consistent contact. So I don't expect anything different than for him to call me directly. And that's how it happened. So that was Dame saying, Terry Stotts called me.
Uh-huh. Does Dame not remember the part where he got Terry Stotts fired?
I don't know if he remembers that.
Okay. Like on purpose. He was the one who was like, we got to move on from Terry or else I want to trade. Yeah. All right.
I want to just mention this kind of gross reporting, I think.
Sure.
Okay. So,
You know we love to talk about gross reporting on this podcast.
Okay, so Kevin Porter Jr., who
broke his girlfriend's neck,
and the Rockets, of course these two teams made this deal. The asset kings of the NBA, the Rockets and Thunder still made a deal. Mm-hmm. They traded Kevin Porter Jr. To the Oklahoma City Thunder, who traded them back Victor Oladipo and Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Mm-hmm.
But they got two first round picks.
No, they were second round picks.
Second round picks. And Adrian Wojnarowski decided to add that OKC has 15 first round and 22 second round picks over the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. So that was a cool thing. That was a cool way to report on that. Some teams just trading a really bad domestic violence guy. Mm-hmm. And scooping up some picks for it. People aren't real. Here's his second tweet. The Thunder are acquiring a 2027 second via Minnesota and a 2028 second via Milwaukee in the deal, sources said. Porter Jr. is facing assault charges based on an incident with a girlfriend.
Who wrote this?
Adrian Wojnarowski. Okay,
just making sure. All right.
Yeah. It's a little too coherent to be a Shams tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Thunder are waving Kevin Porter Jr. immediately because they don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
All they want is picks.
I have a hypothetical question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Do you think if the NBA was just like, okay, Sam, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you all 60 picks in next year's draft. Do you think he'd stop doing this? When a dad makes a son smoke another pack of cigarettes.
No, but he'd be like flipping them for future. Like somehow he'd end up with like fewer picks, but stretched out over 7 years.
He'd end up with 120 picks.
Yeah, and they'd all be like conditional swaps too. So it would just be, yeah, that's exactly what he would do. Yes.
Also, is there a way we can get some kind of Hoarders-esque show for him and Danny Ainge?
Yeah, that would be really good, like, actually.
It's just like, who's the guy who trades all their picks all the time?
The LA Rams?
You know, I was going to say.
Sean Lynch of the 49ers?
No, it's...
Matt Ishbia?
Yeah, Matt Ishbia. It's just Matt Ishbia, like, going through their closets and being like, you see this? Do you need this? Do you need this conditional pick from the Heat that are? No, it's Marie. He's the Marie Kondo, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's just like, does this actually spark joy?
Yeah. Does pick 50 to 60 in the 2028 draft spark joy?
Well, we actually took $400,000. Away from our distance with a listen to yourself.
Yeah. Also, are 2 second round picks worth your soul?
Apparently,
because Sam
yes.
Presti says yes.
And he gave up money for that. He actually paid money along with his soul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got to
get those second round picks.
He got to pay $16.9 million to Kevin Porter Jr.
It was important that he give the money to this monster.
Yeah. We should also mention while we're on monsters, once again, fuck Miles Bridges. Come on, man. Like why are we doing this? You have to wave him, Hornets. Like,
yeah, just do it.
Yeah. And Sam Presti, if you trade for Miles Bridges,
I am
going to tweet about how Chet Holmgren looks like Abraham Lincoln so hard.
Anyway, that was, I'm sorry, but
yeah,
that,
sorry
I,
to,
I just, oh, sorry, I just thought, just, look, just thought that was something gross.
Not only is the regular world a bummer right now, also the basketball world is a bummer. It's very tight.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know what else I'm worried about, Sean?
What's that?
James Harden is missing.
Oh, no.
Like, they can't find him.
The Nuggets lost track of him?
You mean the Sixers?
I mean, sorry, the Sixers. I was thinking about them training at Colorado.
Yeah.
Where he had that some secret meeting where Joel Embiid and Grant Hill talked about the U.S. Olympic team, which he is going to join and then not play on because of injury. Really big news for certain FIBA heads out there. But yeah, so first, James Harden did not go to Media Day. Mm-hmm. He has not attended any preseason games. He has gone.
He went to a practice. Right?
No, he's been at training camp. He's actually only, I believe he has missed a shoot around and a practice.
Okay.
But
and preseason games and all the preseason games.
All the preseason. He has not attended any of the preseason games. He has only played 5-on-5 once so far in the 3 weeks of training camp. Reportedly he's in Houston, but you might have to have like a Where's Waldo.
No, I actually, you know who else was in Houston, Sean?
Was
DeAndre Jordan when the Clippers kidnapped him. Is this a redux?
Yeah.
Is Doc Rivers and Paul Pierce and Blake Griffin barricading the doors to James
Harden's
house
until Daryl Morey
right
makes that trade?
Yeah.
According to The Athletic's Sam Amick, the Sixers have said that they will accept, in exchange for James Harden, an unprotected Clippers first-round pick, a first-round pick swap with the Clippers, matching salaries to make the salaries work, whether that's, which means that Robert Covington would be coming home, right?
Yeah.
But they also demanded Terrence Mann. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Frank of the Clippers would not include him in the deal, at which point, allegedly, Daryl Morey got mad and said, "You should just trade Paul George for Harden if you're so determined to keep all your lesser assets." Mm-hmm. And then the Clippers apparently took the time to decline that trade.
You know what I would do if I was the Clippers, though?
I'd actually
leak that you were willing to trade Paul George. Call his bluff. He doesn't want Paul George.
He wants that expiring deal, baby.
Yeah, he wants max cap space.
Well, I mean, but Paul George is expired. Well, he'd want to make him. Wouldn't it be funny if they made that deal and then Paul George picked up his option for 2024 and then Morey refused to trade him? This is all swinging on Terrence Mann.
I don't believe it is.
Well, it's also funny because Philadelphia apparently wants him because they think they can trade him for a first round
pick. Yeah, I think the Sixers, this is all posturing. And the Sixers want some protection removed off some terrible pick. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is what this actually is.
I mean,
I know they're claiming it's Terrence Mann, but let's be honest.
I just don't know. Like, I'm not really sure who's. They also claim they have a first round pick offer for Terrence Mann. And
who do you think that's from?
Is that something you would trade for Terrence Mann, Joey?
If I were the Utah Jazz, I think I'd trade one of my lesser first-round picks for Terrence Mann.
I mean, he is on, like, a good contract.
But yeah, and he's like young-ish.
He's young-ish, but it's just weird because the Clippers probably aren't going to play him yet again this year.
I just mean that.
I mean, they play him. He started 36 games, but his minutes went down.
But yeah, the Jazz, just because the Jazz's guard rotation is like a lot of rookies and Chris Dunn, you know what I mean? And Terrence Mann isn't a point guard, Yeah, exactly. They're like starting Talen Horton Tucker at point guard, and Terrence Mann isn't a point guard either, but he's more of a point guard than Terrence Mann.
It's just wild that there's been this. Yeah. Also, this story broke on Terrence Mann's 27th birthday. So happy birthday to Terrence Mann. Oh, it is crazy how much we have heard about you.
And happy death day from Nate Duncan.
And congrats from Dunk Down again on your nuptials.
All right.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen? It seems like Harden's not going to go back to the Sixers unless he maybe absolutely contractually has to.
Look, Harden is the GOAT of doing this. So I think what he's going to do is show up for games sporadically, but never letting them know which ones he's going to show up for.
Oh, I think he will be doing whatever he contractually like needs to, because they can't really go after him for, they can't keep pretending they want him on the team and find him for missing preseason games, but then like actual games is kind of weird. Like, it's got to be so weird when he's at practice and you're just one of the other Sixers. You're like, hey, James. Like,
yeah, no, I think they're
going to run. He's not going to run.
Remember when Derrick Rose like left the Knicks to secretly elope that one time? I have this feeling James Harden and his agent have figured out exactly how many games how many unexcused absences you can have for a contract to before it gets voided, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I literally think he's just going to do this and never tell them which games he's going to show up for and which games he's not.
Well, and I mean, he's either going to show up looking incredibly fit, like we're somehow going to get a picture of him looking like really cut and ripped, but he's on a Mesa or something, or he's going to show up like on crutches. And like, I guess my hamstring's really bugging me again. It's like, how do you prove someone doesn't have a pulled hamstring?
Right, exactly. All right, Sean, we got to get to it. It's the Southeast Division preview today, Sean. And we're starting
Southwest, babe.
Sorry, Southwest. Jesus Christ, the Southeast. We did the Southeast. It was a nightmare. The Southwest Division preview. Before we get to that, though, I should mention patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can give us money if you'd like to. At roundrockpod is our Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com is our email. T-shirts you can purchase in the description of our episode. And you can also call us on the phone there. We love getting phone calls from our listeners. Also, please give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. I know you probably don't want to give us 5-star reviews because my laugh is annoying or whatever, but it's weird. You can only give 5-star reviews. I don't know why iTunes... It's truly a company run by millennials, because everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets a 5-star review.
That's true.
Other podcasts say it helps. We have never experienced that, but you know what? I believe Paul Scheer when he tells me things. All right, Sean, let's get to the Southwest Division. Our first team up is the Memphis Grizzlies. Last year, they went 51-31. Good for second in the West. They lost to the Lakers 2-4 in round one. They were 15th in offense and second in defense. They got rid of fan favorite Tyus Jones and fan, what's like a favorite but not, but like not, but a benevolent force, Dylan Brooks, I guess. I don't know if he's been Chaos Agent. Dylan Brooks is also gone, unfortunately. Right as he became the best player in the world, according to the FIBA Basketball World Cup. But don't worry, they're bringing in another crazy guy, Marcus Smart. They're also bringing in, anytime you have an athletic point guard who's hurt all the time, who is making bad life decisions, who's the best person you could bring in to mentor him, Sean? Athletic point guard who makes bad life decisions, but is a worse guy. Derrick Rose is coming in. They also added Shaq Harrison, or as I like to call him, Lil Diesel. And they brought in GG Jackson as a rookie. I don't know who he is, but I assume he is heavy.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, he probably is. 6'9", 215. It's actually a little skinny for... He is a real project.
Mm-hmm. They love doing that. Sean, which outstanding... Oh, you, throughout this project, are deciding which NBA team for each division is which Outstanding Comedy Series Emmy winner.
Yes.
Sean, which Emmy winner are the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, Joey, here's the thing. What did they do this summer? What was their main transaction?
Suspended Jammer.
No, they got smart. Oh. It's get smart, Joey. Mm. They always come close in the playoffs and miss it by that much. When Grizzlies executives are asked about Ja Morant's problems, they go into the cone of silence. Mm-hmm. Much like Control, their enemy is chaos. Maxwell Smart is agent 86, which is also what the Grizz did to Dylan Brooks. They 86'd him. Also, everyone has guns.
Sean, that was very clever and very funny, and I love you for doing it. And I'm sure the 7 people over the age of 50 who listen to this podcast are also going to enjoy it very much. Sean and I talk about the Grizzlies and how they broke the code all the time. It's one of our favorite things. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. Yeah. But we actually know a Memphis Grizzlies expert, and we brought him in to talk about the Grizzlies. Here's our friend from the Grits and Grinds daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast and the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, one of the best Twitter followers you can have on Twitter. A man who, the only person I know who can ever find an interesting stat about anything. Here is Keith Parrish. We're here with our friend from the Grits and Grinds podcast, from Fast Break Breakfast, our friend, musician, Twitter expert, friend of Chuck and John. We're here with Keith Parrish from the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, and more importantly, Grits and Grinds, the sanest of sane Memphis Grizzlies fan, to talk about the Grizzlies. Keith, what did you have for breakfast today?
I just actually ate a bowl of cornflakes in the afternoon. I guess we can count that. I hadn't had a bowl of cornflakes in a real long time, but we've been trying to get our kids. I got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old to eat healthier. We've just been stuffing them full of sugar cereals and Pop-Tarts. We blamed the pandemic and just like, they're so annoying in the morning. And just like, here, just eat this. And so I was more like, listen, we can't, got to give them better food. So we tried to get them better cereals, Rice Krispies here, Cheerios, cornflakes. And they turned their attention from the cornflakes. So we still had the cornflakes. My wife's like, hey, I'm going to throw these away. I'm like, no. I'll eat them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to just throw it away. I'm always scrounging for a little afternoon snack. Today's was cornflakes. Thanks for asking.
Of course. I like to know that I am the only person on Earth that for breakfast smokes a Camel Light cigarette and drinks a yellow Red Bull.
Was that your breakfast today, too?
That's my breakfast every day, baby.
I feel like in my mind, that's what every video game designer does. But I don't know if that's like all the guys who are building Grand Theft Auto 6. I assume every one of those people, this is a horrible stereotype by me, I assume they're all starting their day with Red Bulls and one Camel cigarette.
I think they're vaping, but otherwise, I don't think you're wrong. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Keith, let's talk about it. Are you one of the unnamed Memphis business owners that hates rap music from the ESPN article?
I liked Ja when he said yes, sir, and please more. That's all I'm saying. As an unnamed source from ESPN, I am. Yeah, a lot of. It's also a weird one to joke about because I'm always worried who's going to pull the 4-second clip as I sarcastically pretend or role play. Yeah, the ESPN article had a lot of weird quotes, had a lot of like totally normal stuff. But the whole unnamed Memphis business owner who's like, he used to be way more courteous and humble.
They never overstepped their boundaries. Yeah, he always asked if I could sit in a chair.
Right. Yeah, they always were very, and it was like, this whole thing, man. The article literally blames rap music.
Yeah.
Literally blames rap music for Ja Morant's downward spiral. We were making fun of this on Fast Break Breakfast a couple days ago, where it was just like, all right, you're telling me before he got rich and famous, he didn't drink alcohol on planes?
That is what they said.
Wow. Like, oh, he didn't have this. He wasn't going to clubs and drinking before he got to the NBA. He was 19 when he joined the NBA.
Now,
like,
when they're
I don't understand this standard of conduct. Where it's like, oh, his high school coach is like, he wasn't going out and drinking. Well, yeah, like,
isn't he from an incredibly small town? Like, he's from the same place as Ray Allen, I think, which is like, it's like a military town in South Carolina, right?
I mean, he's from I don't know if it's a military town, but it is a small town in South Carolina. And of course, yes, high schoolers go out and drink. And maybe, you know, but like the whole way this story was presented, where ESPN began the article with this like, oh, they were flying to the All-Star weekend.
He had a bottle of tequila.
And they're broadcasting it on Instagram. It's like, none of this is abnormal and or bad. I mean, if you tell me drinking tequila is bad, I'm not going to really argue with you.
Right.
Also, if you say, hey, sports gambling is bad, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I can see how, yes, perhaps there's no upside. It is a damaging behavior, but it's not like outside of the realm of just rich person behavior and or human behavior to be like, I'm on vacation, I'm going to have a margarita, hold the mix.
Yeah.
So what's crazy about this too is that it's this damning story about him holding expensive tequila. But then you hear, then in the story, Ja Morant's like not able to get the tequila bottle from his friends. He's constantly just saying that he's not getting it. And then he's bantering with his grandmother. So he's sitting with his grandmother on this terrible that the flight that is has got the alligators to come after him. He's still hanging out with his grandmother.
Yeah, he's drinking with his dad. He's hanging out with his family. Mm-hmm. He's hanging out with his family and friends drinking. It's like that seems. Also, not a huge issue.
Was there anything new in this story? Because it felt like everything we've known for 15 months.
I think there might have been a couple of things. The thing that stuck out to me that I don't feel like I'd ever read before was that like Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman set him down in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And said like, hey man, you're screwing up pretty bad. Or like, you know, like mm-hmm. this, like we have assumed a lot of that, but this was a team source. I believe it was something like a team source said, you know, they set him down and said, hey man, you effed up and you got to fix all this stuff. And so that was new. The timelines with like the actual, what time of day kind of thing. And like when they got into town, maybe the it might have been new, the idea that like saying he's been doing this since his rookie year. And when they flew into a city there, he would basically get picked up at the airport and then disappear. And then this article was
flying his friends in private jets on the road, which to me, you're not that rich as a rookie. Like how that was wild to me. The amount of money it appeared he was spending, spending on partying to me is like, extreme.
Yeah. it's never really a good idea to fly on a private jet. Maybe if you're like a
CEO,
out,
you're gonna be in trouble with Taylor with the Swifties. You better be.
Yeah, careful. I mean, look, that's I know of some conspiracy theories about her attending a Jets game to get the news of her carbon footprint off. I have to say, okay, so when they say Memphis business owners, doesn't it seem like they're talking to guys who run strip clubs?
Yes.
like it just seems like one guy's like, oh, he said he was coming with his best friend. And then he said, we're coming with the entourage. We weren't even sure we wanted these guys to be in there. And just the fact that they're just saying business owners in that generic way is like, could you just not say the name?
I wish we could have known more about the business. And I felt like I needed like demographic. I needed
maybe is this a white guy talking?
They're all white guys. They were all white guys talking. Yes.
Although I did like the story. I wish if it was business owner, if it was like if that story about him being courteous and humble, I did like the idea that when he used to go to the strip club, he was like, do you mind if we sit here, please, sir? Yeah. And so the idea of that asking where I can sit story being in a strip club is actually funny to me.
Sir, is it possible that we could get a seat near the stage if no one else is reserved that?
That's right. My grandmother wants a great view. I feel like Jaw's done enough stuff that's like easily criticized enough, and like all of the instances problematic. But this story, I was like, for me, it raised the coded racist undertones of this were way louder to me than just like the, I don't know, the bad activities, but I guess I've been,
no, you're correct.
Yeah. Well, I've been so steeped in all these Ja Morant stories. I'm like, yeah, I know all this stuff. And like, wait a minute, this guy said, like, he once he got a grill, I told him like, you're looking like you want to be a rapper more than a ball player. Uh-huh. I've seen this 1,000 times or whatever. It's like, I need to know more about the guy who said these things.
When you get to the part of the article where they're being the rap song in italics, it felt like I was reading like a Sports Illustrated piece the late 90s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and the lyrics that they have to get rid of are not really very bad.
I am, for people who know me, who know my podcasting work, I'm basically a prude.
You're a huge prude.
You don't curse.
I don't curse. Like, I don't listen to rap music. I don't even like rap music. Okay. And like, I feel uncomfortable at Grizzlies games doing the whoop that trick chant. I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. Oh, this is for me to yell. but it is funny. So like the thing they were like, oh, the Grizzlies took out the rap lyrics from the pregame hype video. And then, like you said, in italics, it put like the rap quotes and it was something about drinking red wine.
It was like,
it's going dumb, going crazy, going dumb, going crazy,
going dumb, going crazy, which that one I actually get removing simply just because the reason Ja Morant is being suspended is being incredibly dumb and crazy.
Like those specifically, but I was like, even like me who cringes at like the lyrics of like even modern like pop songs, I'm like, listen, my lovely lady bumps, I don't like it. Like, I don't like it. This one, like, this just said drinking wine. It said, I go crazy and drink wine. Like,
chasing dollar signs and sipping red wine. That's like that's the 1%.
That's what Frazier does.
It's good for our heart, right? I think that's good for your heart. So I don't know. The whole article, I was like, normally I have to watch what I say, and no one told them this is not okay to pray. It seemed very confusing to me.
Now, the thing that interests me about this article that I want to ask you about, Keith, is, as we all know, in the NBA media landscape, it's completely corrupt and there is no true journalism anymore. And every story comes from somewhere. What is the purpose of this story, you think? Like, who's benefiting here? Like, is this a shot? Did the NBA do this to kind of warn Ja about this season? Does it come from the Grizzlies? Where do you think this comes from? Because that's what I don't understand, is like, what's the point of this story now?
I don't think it's anything.
The Grizzlies don't even comment on this, basically, right?
No, and they have basically been like, everything the league has announced suspending Ja Morant, they basically publicly said, great, works out great for us. Like, we fully support all these measures, all these punishments. I don't think there's anything big and nefarious and conspiratorial or even like access journalism wise. This is just literally, hey, we can run this article and it'll be another talking point. Like, someone was like, ESPN just wrote this for clicks. Yeah, literally, yeah, their business model.
We're doing this literally podcast website's for saying. Clicks. You look, we want the one click. Like, that's, yeah. Sorry.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think there's like a storyline out there like this benefits or hurts anybody, really. The Grizzlies have already rallied around it, where they had a team meeting and then they met with Ja Morant, the Taylor Jenkins met with Ja Morant again. And so they've used this again to say, hey, we're totally behind you. We support you. Let's, you know, so like maybe they're using it for, if you really want to dig deep and be like, yeah, they put it out there to maybe get that us versus them mentality, to get that bunker mentality as we head to the NBA season. But I don't believe that particularly. I just think ESPN was like, hey, well, we can mine this once again. And yeah, they did.
Well, in fact, the way that, because it says it's like his 18 month decline, and that's not present. There are no points. Like, it pretty much jumps from like, hey, this happened on the way to the All-Star game. And then at the start of the season, we found out that he punched a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
But because Baxter Holmes is involved, I always think it's going to be some like long-term investigation that he's done. And it just kind of seems like no one from the Grizzlies organization said anything. So he kind of walked around Memphis he goes to strip clubs. Like, oh, okay, I can.
I'm going to say, based on the things I've heard Tim McMahon say, particularly about T. Morant on various podcasts, this felt more like a McMahon joint than a Holmes joint.
I don't understand what Holmes' part of it though was, though. Like, like, I don't know why McMahon needs to share this byline. Like, but I do like the idea of Baxter Holmes going to every strip club in Memphis and, hi, I'm Baxter Holmes. Do you mind if I sit here? And they're like, that's a good.
That's how it's done. Like it.
He's not too big for his britches.
This man doesn't want to be a rapper at all. All right. Let's talk about the actual basketball team. Keith, it feels like the consensus around this team is extremely down on the Memphis Grizzlies, but also over the last 3 years, they just win 50 games every year. Which side do you come down on?
I guess between those two options, I'll choose they're probably going to win close to 50 games again. So yeah. I don't think they're going to have any problem with the regular season. They're huge question mark. You're missing Ja Morant for 25 games, and Steven Adams is probably not going to be totally healthy all year. He's going to start the season probably playing limited minutes and not, you know, back to backs or anything. But I kind of feel like this team is fine and their early schedule isn't really that hard. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane are awesome, and they have other competent players. And I sort of feel like they've kind of solved the regular season, where it's like they're going to win, you know, 60% of their games, which is basically what you have to do to win 50-50. It's not that hard, or it doesn't seem that hard. But it's like, I do think, yeah, they're going to win upper 40s probably, if not 50. And it's funny to me where, yeah, there is a lot of consensus where people are down on the Grizzlies. They have lost as the higher seed in consecutive playoffs. But like, I also see that like John Hollinger picked him to finish first in the West. Kevin Pelton's little computer model picked the Grizzlies to finish first in the West, which again, Pelton's model made sense to me. It said they won 48 games. Where I'm like, yeah, that feels right. Like, oh, that's first in the West. Well, that's surprising. But yeah, I think they're definitely, I don't think they're not an elite contender like what I would consider the Nuggets to be. And I think the Suns are better. And I think the Lakers are better, but like, all right, the Warriors, they're probably better, but I don't think anybody else is clearly better. And I do think they're kind of a tier up from a lot of these squads. I'm more surprised as a Grizzlies fan and analyst, where I guess I am biased. I'm surprised people are like back in on the Mavs. And I'm just like, why?
That's insane to me.
The Grizzlies are way better than the Mavs. And yeah, the Grizzlies, I think, are way better than the Pelicans. And like, I'm a little nervous about like the Timberwolves, but I don't feel, I feel like the Grizzlies, like they're better than the Kings. I'm not. This is me as a Grizzlies fan where I'm like, I think Marcus Smart's going to be good for us. And I think Bane is actually going to be better this year. And I don't think there's that many questions really about the team. If you think John Morant's going to miss the whole year, okay. If you think Steven Adams is just not going to play this season, all right, then they're back to being like maybe a 500 team or worse. But like, you're talking about winning 47 games. I think they're over-unders like 45. I'm like, no, I think they're easily going to best that.
Yeah, it's 45.5, which seems, not to spoil anything, Joey, but I'll be going over on that.
Yeah, I'm also going hard over.
Well, I also think that the Grizzlies' postseason failures are a little bit overstated. Like, they lost to the team that won the NBA title. They lost to the Lakers when they were became a terrible matchup against them, when they didn't have Brandon Clark and Steven Adams anymore. And I mean, even the Lakers were just a really big team. Like,
even more to that, Sean, like, so 2 years ago against the Warriors, where
they broke
like,
the code.
They did break the code. Yeah. But like, they were ahead of the Warriors in the final 2 minutes of three of the four losses. They lost in six.
That's right. Yeah.
And John only played in three games.
Yeah.
Steven Adams actually was had COVID and was out. So like they took basically they were really, really close to a team that had Steph Curry and Draymond Green. And like this is a young team, one of the youngest teams in the NBA. They like gave the Warriors probably their toughest challenge on the way to that title. And then last year, like you said, no Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark, who were their key front court guys, and they ended up having to play Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It was a 6-game series.
One of the games went to overtime.
By the way, yeah, they lost one of the games in overtime. By the way, John Morant got hurt again on a dirty charge play where like Anthony Davis undercut him in the air. John Morant once again missed games and they lost in six. It's like, yeah, all right. You lose the last game by 40. That hurts. Kennard.
Also, their third best player was literally losing his mind at the time.
Like, well, fourth best, Dylan, maybe best fourth.
I mean, with jaw out, he goes with jaw out.
Dylan was actively throwing the games.
Yeah.
And like, again, I understand you lose as the higher seed, but without Steven Adams and without Brandon Clark, and then with the changes that the Lakers had made, by the time we got to the playoffs, it's like these teams are very, very close.
Yeah.
Like, I picked the Grizzlies to win in seven. I thought the Grizzlies were going to win this series in seven. I went to game one, which the Grizzlies lost, a very close game, because Austin Reeves just went all like Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. I can't remember the stats. They were something like 14 of 15 from the field.
Yeah.
In the second
half. I think it might have been more. Yeah. I think it was more makes than that.
It was like 94% shooting from these two guys. And the Grizzlies lost a close game. It was close down to the wire. And they lost that game. And I'm like, well, we're not going to lose in six. I thought we were winning in seven, but we're going to lose in six now. And they didn't lose in six. So it wasn't like a shocking upset or like they totally fell on their faces and disappointed.
I also just don't really feel like they choked in any of those series or anything. Like, John Morant's really good in clutch situations. Desmond Bane's good in clutch situations. Like,
John Morant's playoff stats are outrageously good.
They're crazy. So I don't really understand it. They got very unlucky.
I will paint the other story for you, though. There are concerns about their playoff performances. I can argue both sides. That's why I'm a gifted podcaster. Here are the problems, though. The Grizzlies, as the higher seed, have lost three straight game ones at home. They lost game one to the Warriors and the Timberwolves the previous season. Last year, they lost game one at home to the Lakers. In the game threes, their first road games, I believe the stat is they've fallen behind by 26 points in all three of them in the first road game of the series. So, like, there are problems. We are like, I don't know if this is coaching, if this is youth and inexperience. So, like, there have been some struggles in the playoffs. That's fair. But also, I think expecting them to hold seed against the Warriors may be unrealistic. Expecting them to hold seed against the Lakers with the injury problems that they had, probably also unrealistic.
I think they're a little 3-point heavy in the playoffs, and that's sometimes why they fall behind so much and then will also win by 40. You know, if they're making their threes, they're really, really hard to beat.
Well, they're unstoppable. And that falls back to
has no shooting. So
that falls back to their legitimate issues for the past several seasons. And it's still an issue this season. The half court offense in the playoff just stinks. And I mean, half court offense in the regular season, not good, but who cares? They generate enough turnovers. They're an elite defensive squad that helps them churn out wins in the regular season. It's going to be the half court offense, which prevents them from, you know, making second or third round of the playoffs this year also as well. They hope Marcus Smart can fix that some. They keep changing things. Like, I mean, going back years, they got rid of Jonas Valanciunas because they're like, we depend too much on him in the half court of just getting offensive rebounds. We can't do that. We need Ja and Desmond and Jaren to generate the shots. So they traded him for Steven Adams, thinking we wanted just more of like a screener rebounder. Well, guess what? It was the same issue. They became so dependent on Steven Adams just rebounding all of Dylan and Ja's misses. And that was like our main offense. And once that went away, it's like, no, we still actually stink at the half court offense. And that's one of the reasons they got rid of DeAnthony Melton. That's one of the reasons they got rid of Kyle Anderson. They're trying to find prototypical half court guys. I think it kind of bit them in the butt last year where they're like, Roddy and LaRavia theoretically make more sense. You're like, well, yeah, but the rookies and they might stink. Yeah. And guess what? They weren't very good. So now, once again, it's the same thing where it's like, maybe Marcus Smart will help. Maybe Derrick Rose will help. Getting rid of Dylan Brooks, maybe that'll be an upgrade. But still, they're gonna need Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., or someone else, internal improvement to pop, I think, to really improve that half court offense.
Well, my first question for you.
All right.
Ooh.
We haven't had a question yet.
No, I mean, like, you know what I mean about what the future here, because we've talked a lot about the past, but Mark McGuire in front of Congress, I want to talk only about the future. Both Santi Aldama and Zaire Williams have had moments of looking very good this preseason.
Yeah.
Are you buying either?
I definitely buy Santi Aldama. I mean, but Santi Aldama was a pretty solid player last year. Mm-hmm. And
he was pretty good in FIBA.
He also was quite good in the FIBA World Cup. He did a lot of little fancy things there. I think he's a pretty decent shooter. He's a very creative offensive player because he's just like, he's a 7-footer that just kind of does flashy stuff. He's got a lot of the like kind of Rudy Fernandez tribute reverse dunks. Mm-hmm. And he is a very good offensive player. And I continue to think he will keep showing those flashes and mature. And he's still very, very young. So like I believe in Santi Aldama as like a legitimate, he can be in your top eight of your rotation and not kill you or anything. And he is going to make some very silly shots and some, like he does the behind the back passes. He's a pretty good, you know, distributor there. The Zaire question is the way more interesting one, because Zaire's rookie year was up and down, but the Grizzlies were so good that year that you're like, oh, this rookie has started a bunch of games for this 56 win team. And then he had a game against the Warriors in the playoffs where I can't remember if he hit three or four threes, but he hit several threes.
Four.
And you're like,
I think it was four.
Yeah. So you're like, all right, this rookie who's mainly known as a lob finisher is, if he also hits threes, that's like the magical 3-and-D kind of wing, you know, a guy with size that the Grizzlies have been needing for forever. But then last year he was just awful and he had a bunch of knee issues. And so it was like a totally lost season. But yeah, he's been super good in the preseason. He's been handling the ball a lot and he's been playmaking really well. And he's also shot the three with some really good accuracy. So like, I guess I'm still dubious. It's been too good. Like it's a little fishy. Mm-hmm. We're like, this is not going to sustain. But like I am optimistic where I was not basically before the preseason. I am optimistic that now he's not like actively bad or useless. Mm-hmm. He is like, once again, like, oh, okay. Like, this guy should be able to play for us. And if he can progress beyond that, where you're like, it's like the Jonathan Kuminga, where you're like, all right, but now I've seen enough where like, if he can get a little bit better and actually be a positive in a lot of ways, that I think should lift the overall team success. So, I guess the answer, yeah, I firmly believe in Santi, and I'm cautiously optimistic about Zaire.
All right, my
Don't believe in Zaire Williams because he went to Stanford, and I think he'll be an NBA GM in about 6 years.
My next question is, I want you to rank the thick boys based on favorite to least favorite, Laravia, Roddy, Lofton Jr. Am I missing a thick one?
Well, I mean, is Laravia that thick?
Yes.
I mean, the
Stephen Adams is thick.
I mean, Stephen Adams. Yeah,
Stephen Adams, though, is a known quantity.
I mean, is Xavier Tillman count? He seems thicker than
Desmond Bane is wide.
I would say the question mark thick boys.
I say you can't have a conversation about thick and not include Desmond Bane. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
He's got a stout downstairs.
Well, that's like their secret sauce in the draft is they don't care if a guy has short arms as long as he's got, you know, he's built like a Pixar mom. Buns, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm throwing out if Laravia is included, he's last. Get out of here.
I thought the Warriors were going to draft him last year, which meant he would be on the Washington Wizards right now.
It feels like a Warrior. I'm gonna take Junior first. Junior's my favorite thick boy.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah.
He's delightful. There's been a lot of talk about him being overweight. I heard Dominique Wilkins on the Hawks broadcast kind of making fun of him. The Heat broadcasters were making fun of him. So they've been kind of piling on. Taylor Jenkins played in like the last 20 minutes of a game in the preseason. I don't know if that was like a go just running out.
Conditioning, yeah.
Yeah, just like a forced conditioning thing. But he's delightful. He's scrappy. He shoves people around. In the last week, a small victory for myself was getting Basketball Reference to add Jin Zebo to his page.
Yes.
Mission accomplished. I love Kendall Lofton Jr. He's my number one. Roddy, a close number two, though. Big body Roddy. Or I call him, David the Roddy Body, the Body Roddy, excuse me. He's a lot of fun as well. Also seems like he should be a football player, which I guess he was in college, but very, very strong, just stout basketball player. A lot of fun to watch play. I would definitely wish we would do. I mean, I think we could do an all big boy squad. Like if we have Bane, Bane and Roddy and Lofton and Adams, we can do that. And then you just pick your thickest. Other ball handler. I don't really want Ravy on this.
Smart, maybe? I don't know. He's not.
Smart's kind of wide. Yeah.
I mean, Smart's got that, like, he could be a cornerback or like a.
Yeah, he's got the mentality. I like that. You know what I think also with the Lofton thing is they said he reported to camp over 300 pounds, which might be true, but that only sounds dramatic because everybody in the NBA lies about their weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like officially, I think Boban is the heaviest guy in the league listing wise. And that, there's actually, no chance.
Sean, I was actually looking at this. Yeah. Nurkic is this year's heaviest NBA player.
But he definitely weighs 300 pounds, but he's probably not listed at 300 pounds, right?
I don't remember exactly what number he was at. But yeah, yes.
I mean, I'm always surprised like how little they say LeBron James weighs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's
he's huge. These people are gigantic.
Know how mass works.
Also, the Kenneth Lofton Jr., as best I understand it, this all derived from just like a thing Chris Vernon said off the cuff. Like this is not sourced reporting. Chris Vernon was just talking about him looking big and his listed weight is 275. And so if you're like, he looks like he's over 300 or people are saying he's over 300, it's not like it got totally out of control or anything. And it wasn't an actual, like, it wasn't a Baxter Holmes, Tim McMahon joint where they interviewed business owners to be like, Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Well, this is a business owner. Yeah. We won't say, but it rhymes with Grispy Dream.
Well, right, I do say Kenneth Lofton used to be much more polite when he came to my buffets.
All right. Keith, this is a big one. There's a controversy about his blocks being overcounted last year. He was a scapegoat of the U.S.'s non-meddling team in the FIBA World Cup, even though no one in America actually cares about that. Referees always foul him out quickly. Why does Jaren Jackson Jr. inspire so many haters?
It's a real question. So I don't have a joke answer to this because it's something I've like legitimately pondered. Like, why is Jaren Jackson Jr. disliked? Why is he criticized so much for his rebounding when I feel like no one yells at Kristaps Porzingis for his rebounding? Mm-hmm. Like, no one cares about like Lauri Markkanen's rebounding or
everybody,
whatever.
Everybody,
like,
everybody thought Uncle Cliffy was awesome. And he's basically like all-star Uncle Cliffy.
Yeah. Like he does not get as many rebounds as like the elite rebounders, but like, look at his per 100 possessions rebounds. They're just pretty average. Okay. They're just at, like, pick any old center and it's like, yeah, all right. He's not Bam Adebayo. Like, who cares? Like he's by the way, the best defender in the league. Like, why are you saying the best defender in the league or one of them? He's top five, definitely. Like, why do you care if he's not also a top like 5 or 10 rebounder? It's very, very strange. The going back to like the Reddit morning where they're like, hey, we found this conspiracy.
Yeah.
That the Memphis scorekeeper has been incorrectly assigning blocks. So like, you guys know I'm pretty into NBA rules. I'm really into NBA officiating.
Yeah, you're a narc.
Richard Jefferson embarrass himself at the referee position during a summer league game.
I can't believe the officials still allow that to happen. Made a farce of our game. I feel like people who've played just fantasy sports, if you've played category leagues, fantasy basketball, you've definitely watched him and like, wait, that was a steal. Why wasn't that counted? And then you figure out, oh, they don't count those as steals. That's a blah. Yeah, like, there's just things that I feel like most people should have learned by being NBA fans. And so when I went and clicked to that Reddit link and I watched every video clip, I'm like, all these are scored correctly. Like, what are we, there's nothing weird here. And I didn't think much about it. And then like it blew up and became a thing. And I thought like, I'm losing my mind. Everyone's like, look at this clip. I'm like, that clip shows a block shot. Like, that's a block shot. That's what the NBA calls a block shot. Like, and I looked at all of them and it was like, it was a very similar way to how like a large segment of the population just capriciously decided that germ theory doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
During the pandemic, where it's like, what are we talking about? Like, there's no debate that masks keep germs from spreading, that droplets coming out here. Like, there's no scientific debate about this. What are we talking about? Or like people turned on vaccines where it's like, there's no scientific debate over vaccines.
Yeah.
Like it's all accepted. Like,
you know what it is? It's built into all these algorithms. They don't care about claims. They just want things that get people to emotionally react. Yeah. And the reason that was such a big deal is anything that's like about someone being cheated or credited unfairly just explodes on social media for some reason.
Guys, while I'd be remiss if we weren't talking about a home court advantage stat-wise and vaccines, not to play this drop.
A virus cheating us of this opportunities. It's the guys making decisions saying, no, no, we're too scared. We're going to shut everything down. Sit in your house and be careful. My kids and my grandkids hearing these things and accepting them as truth. And when I know by my significant amount of research that it isn't, and it's very frustrating.
I've done a significant amount of research, and I would say about 15% of John Stockton's assists were Karl Malone dribbling 8 times to get to the basket.
I would love to do some research on the NBA's assist tallying. I mean, that is wildness where I might become a hardliner. Like, listen, if you did not if the 3-point shooter wasn't open, doesn't count as an assist. Mm-hmm. And then two, if you put the ball on the floor, the assist is gone now. Like, there's very few like this, like pass it to a guy. He pump fakes, dribbles, then shoots. And that's an assist. It's like, come on. That's not that's something else.
Yeah.
We got to come up with a different term for that. By the way,
if he's sprinting at the basket, he can dribble. You know what I mean? Like
Santi Aldama had this behind the back pass for a layup.
Yeah, it was cool. Heat.
2 games ago?
Yeah, it was really cool.
Was not credited with an assist. I'm actually looking up right now to figure out.
I watched the clip after that and I thought, how is that not an assist?
I was so confused because I was podcasting about it where I'm like, I know I saw this awesome pass where he made it. And then I'm like, I was looking at the box score. I'm like, wait, there's no assist. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game. And like, it kind of caused me to mess up. And then I went back and looked. I'm like, no, it's clearly an assist. And it wasn't registered. And I was told there were so many like checks and balances. We're like every play is reviewed 3 times by the league office and everything. And that's still, if it was the regular season, I would definitely.
Yeah, I think the preseason, maybe they don't fully staff Secaucus to the same degree.
Oh, it's just like the restaurants staffing issues is causing everything to be worse now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Millennials don't want to review referees' calls anymore.
Well, Steve Javi's out shopping for his sad sandwich materials.
Yeah.
To stock up because he has to live there like Desmond from Lost. That was the guy who lived in the hole, right? Anyway, one last question before we let you go here, Keith.
Yeah.
Last year and the year before, the Memphis Grizzlies famously drew the least amount of charges in the NBA. But now they've added charge monger Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Does the front office believe that that was the reason they couldn't get past the second round in the playoffs? Was their lack of charge drawing?
I don't think it's the reason, but they have identified that their guys weren't drawing charges, that were in position to draw charges. This is actually something that I was able to ask Taylor Jenkins directly at like the Marcus Smart introductory press conference. I'm like, listen. Yeah. Marcus drew more charges than the whole team did like 3 years ago. Is he going to be in charge of teaching you guys to draw the charges? And they're like, yeah, you know, Taylor's like, we got to, we have the guys in position making the rotations. We're not drawing charges. And it's a big play that Marcus can help us with. I will say, by the way, in preseason, Marcus has not played, but I was told that Marcus would be leading these drills, would be sharing his expertise and teaching them how to do it. So far this preseason, Grizzlies have drawn 0 charges.
So, wow. Doesn't really seem like the Hustle King of the NBA, does he?
Yeah, I don't know. I do have my questions about the Hustle stats, which Marcus Smart is the 2-time reigning Hustle stat winner.
That was my so Sean's question for you. Are you going to be tracking his Hustle stats throughout the season?
I have very plainly stated that I understand what the Hustle stats are tracking. Mm-hmm. I think the way they apply the Hustle stats to pick the award winner, that is highly questionable. I do not know how you look at the NBA Hustle stats pages with the stats they provide us there to come up with Marcus Smart as the winner. Like I assume it's some kind of weird scoring system, but like he's not top at any of the categories. And there's all these other guys who were. I still feel like there's a lot of like a very gray area, just kind of like very arbitrary judges. We don't know who picks the award. They're like, yeah, I think that guy. They used to announce a score, like ice skating in the Olympics.
Yeah,
where they were like, oh, his score was 17.8 across all the categories. They don't even pretend to do that anymore. So, I would love to know if the NBA wants to reach out, let me know exactly how this award is chosen. I'm very suspicious of Marcus Smart being the most deserving winner last season.
All right, Keith, over under. I think we're all going over 45.5 for the Memphis.
Yeah, easy over. One of the easiest overs out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can hardly imagine a situation where I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx anything, but like the only issue seems to be maybe the big men aren't that healthy. But I just don't even really think that's a regular season issue. They seem like they have.
So many
just a lot of NBA players. Yeah.
Xavier. So like if Steven Adams, whatever, is not himself, mm-hmm. you have Jaren Jackson Jr., Santi Aldama and Xavier Tillman. Like you're going to mm-hmm. be fine.
You can always pick up Kem Birch or whatever.
Like, well, so honestly, after Ja is out for 5 games, the Grizzlies get to add another player to the team under this like suspended players list. And so like literally I thought today, Joey, Kim Birch might just come on down. Like, if Steven Adams is not okay, yeah, they're going to sign Bismack Biyombo or Kim Birch or something just to rebound. As long as, Dwayne, I mean, but this goes for every team.
Those guys are
as long
available.
As nothing catastrophic happens to Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr., they're going to be good. And they're deep enough where it's like, you don't care about basically anybody else. Like, you wish Marcus Smart was going to be available. But, like, if Zaire Williams gets hurt, who cares? We got Roddy. If Roddy gets hurt, who cares? We have Conchar. Like, they're so deep for, like, the kind of the fifth guy. As long as their key players stay healthy, which, again, same caveat for every single team, I think Grizzlies comfortably win over 45 games.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Keith. Where can our listeners find you and your various podcasts and your various YouTubes? First off, subscribe to Keith on YouTube.
Yeah, hit me up on YouTube. I think it's going to be around a little bit longer than Twitter. Follow me on the Grits and Grinds YouTube page for all your Grizzlies needs. Go to the Fast
Shorts,
Break Breakfast.
Watch some
YouTube
shorts.
Page. I am still available on most, I guess, social media sites at Fast Break Break. Just hit me up there and I'll still be doing the old Grizzlies and NBA content.
Well, thanks a lot, Keith. I'm sure we'll have you on multiple times this season, like we do every season.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much, Keith. Sean, on to the rest of the division. The New Orleans Pelicans last year, they went 42-20 and lost a play-in to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were 21st in offense, 6th in defense. They got rid of Jackson Hayes, bad man, bad guy. Mm-hmm. Lots of bad guys in this episode. Yeah. Willie Hernan Gomez. Sean, how could you cut Bo Cruz's brother?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's going back to Europe where Bo Cruz has warrants. So
they also got rid of Josh Richardson. But ask anyone there. Yeah, they loved him.
Yeah.
Anyone, ask anyone on the Pelicans or the Heat or the Sixers or the Spurs or the Celtics and ignore, don't ask Haralabob.
Yeah.
If he's a good locker room presence. They also got rid of Garrett Temple. But don't worry, Sean. They're bringing in Cody Zeller and all his many head and arm and leg bands.
Yeah, he is part cyborg now, I believe, because of the accident.
They're also bringing in Malcolm Hill. They're also bringing in Jordan Hawkins. And they have a rookie, Sean. Are you ready for this name?
Yes.
Kaiser Gates. They're bringing in Kaiser Gates.
That is... I mean, that's like a direct-to-video action hero.
Sean, have you ever seen Powers Booth play basketball? Because that's what I assume Kaiser Gates looks like.
He's just in the lane, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's...
You're not gonna get the ball.
He insists that you have to give him 7 free throws a game, or else he will blow up the arena. He's constantly on the phone with hostage negotiators outside during the game. And so he gets a little distracted on defense.
Yeah.
Because he's demanding a helicopter to Mexico.
Yeah, he's trying
while
to
John
trace
Claude
a call,
Van, while Jean-Claude Van Damme rappels into the arena. All right, Sean. Which outstanding comedy series Emmy winner are the New Orleans Pelicans?
Well, they're Will and Grace. So just like Will Truman, you know, that's Eric Dermott's character, the first openly gay lead character on a sitcom, Zion Williamson was going to change the face of the NBA with the New Orleans Pelicans. Mm-hmm. But neither the Pelicans or Will score very much. And actually, they're kind of defensive a lot of the time. Deborah Messing is a lot like Brandon Ingram, once very promising, but very erratic. Him in big games, her on Twitter. And more importantly, for a team that is owned by
Gail Benson,
Tom Benson, Boogie Benson's widow, there is a mean rich lady who bosses everybody around.
Mm-hmm. Also, Sean, you forgot to mention that just like Will and Grace, there's a man who every once in a while will pop up mid-season and make sure everyone hears him play the piano.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So I like that choice. All right. My first question about the Pelicans, Sean, is there a way they can ban OnlyFans in the arena?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
while on arena Wi-Fi. That. Yeah,
they could block that. At least on the arena Wi-Fi, they could block that. I mean, that's a they should have parental controls on a lot of things in Zion Williamson's life. Unfortunately, his own parents are not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we don't know.
I don't mean it's a man. No. I mean, his dad is very
George
involved.
Carl.
No, I mean, I think they're like fine parents. It's just his dad is like his business. His stepdad is like his business manager, and he. Do you remember that story about Zion owing, like defaulting on a personal loan backed by a crypto company?
No.
That happened this year. I mean, that's like the OnlyFans thing was more salacious, but like, why does Zion Williamson need to take out a personal loan from a crypto company? And the stepdad was kind of saying he'd be it's involved in crypto, and a lot of people have made some bad crypto decisions, but it's not good for you shouldn't have a relative be your manager.
Do you think Zion Williamson had diamond hands? Do you think he's still holding on to GameStop?
That would be so great.
Is he dumb money?
Well, I mean, it is funny because now the NBA is officially anti-GameStop after the new Charlotte Hornets owner
is the guy who tried from Dumb Money, right?
Wow. Yeah.
I think he's the guy from Dumb Money, right?
The guy from Dumb Money. He is Seth Rogen. When Seth Rogen is playing you in a movie about how stupid you are, that's why he had to pay Jordan such a big price, because it's like Taylor Swift trying to get the news of her massive private jet emissions out of the media. Dumb Money David was had to actually buy a basketball team, probably taking out a loan from his friend New York Mets owner Steve Cohen to do so. He bought the Charlotte Hornets, and then
I guess we have to watch that movie, huh? Anyway. Now,
yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a
Patreon about it. Yeah. All right.
By the way, get ready for I listened to another episode of Smartless, a podcast I do not enjoy. You know, we were just talking
stop
about Will
doing
Grace.
That.
Well, Bill Simmons was on.
Oh my god!
So,
how much? Well, I can't talk about that. I'm not going to ask you. We got to get back to the Pelicans. but seriously, Sean, I have a weird take about Zion.
Okay.
Actually,
yeah.
I am more troubled by his off the court behavior and like the weird rumors around him than I am. Jaws, is that weird? Because like I've seen the Ja Morant behavior before from an NBA player. You know what I mean? I've never seen this weird thing where like multiple women are just like complaining about him constantly on Twitter and then talking about how his like bathroom was full of Mountain Dew cans.
I mean, that was I don't know if that was a reliable source, but boy did it sound true, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like one of the reasons I think he's getting bad personal advising is not just the strangely timed loans, not his apparently successful effort to renovate a historic New Orleans mansion to put a gym in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just that, like, I think that a lot of NBA players are often, let's just say, maybe polyamorous.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe. You know, just maybe are not into conventional monogamy, but usually I think that they're open about it, or at least they do it in a way where everyone understands. Yeah, they're open about it, and or like they communicate, or there is
there's a reason you don't find out about things like this a lot. And usually that's because some veteran or some agent or some manager is like, why don't we not let your personal life become super public? Mm-hmm. He does not seem to have that person.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't know. It seems like he makes a lot of sort of unforced errors in his professional life. And mm-hmm. like, it was very weird that he walked in on a podcast during Summer League when I think while Gilbert Arenas was talking about him, he kind of crashed the podcast and came and sat down, which was very memorable, but didn't really help him because then they were kind of, he ended up sitting down with, you know, no publicist or PR person, and let Gilbert Arenas just ask him questions about why he wasn't in shape. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a good...
not great. Do you think maybe the song... Okay, so David Griffin, the GM of the... Mm-hmm.
The piano man.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, do you think maybe the song he was trying to sing... Zion, when Zion wouldn't come to hear him play the piano, was, I don't know, No Eye in Threesome by Interpol?
I mean, it could have been, yeah, I actually don't know that song, but that mm-hmm. sounds...
Was it Menage a Trois by Trick Daddy?
It Wasn't Me by Shaggy, maybe?
Yeah, was it... was it, what's the one, Triad by Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I actually kind of think he might be doing the song Too Close by Next.
Mm-hmm, yeah, well, that's not going to help Zion, because Zion is clearly very horny when he dances. Yes. all right, Sean, why are the Pelicans designing their offense around Jonas Valanciunas?
It's time to do it. Mm-hmm. Give it to JV and let him cook.
Is it? I actually have a question about Jonas Valanciunas, though. Is he actually the most underrated player in the NBA?
I think
he is.
He is. It's just his. So, I mean, we talked to Keith about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where Memphis thought they had ended up relying on him too much. And maybe the Pelicans feel like they're relying on him too much, but he seems to play really well every time I see him. And, like, I don't know.
It just seems like he's one of those players that teams get obsessed with the things he can't do instead of all of the things he does really, really well, which is, like, score kind of at will inside the 3-point line and rebound really
and
hard.
Pass.
Yeah.
I think maybe
have a cool beard.
And I mean, I guess maybe he's not supposed to be the best defender, but mm-hmm. his teams generally tend to be pretty good defense. Like mm-hmm. Toronto was good defensively. Memphis was good defensively. New Orleans was good defensively. Like, he's also kind of not paid very much. I think he makes about $15 million. I mean, by NBA standards, obviously, but it's weird. He seems like he's like, it's not even like he demands the ball all the time either. I kind of don't get it. I mean, I said that as a joke, but now I'm kind of like, maybe their offense would be better if he got the ball more.
I guess we should go back to Zion really quickly because he's like the story here, right?
Yeah.
Is this the year he gets it together? And if he doesn't, is he just Ben Simmons too? And am I a year too early calling him Ben Simmons too?
No, I mean, how much didn't he? Isn't he only like two draft classes behind Ben Simmons? Something like that. I can't remember. When did anyone get drafted? it was funny because when he got drafted, there was like a big victory lap about the process mm-hmm. because the Sixers had gotten the number one pick. You know what? This is weird, but I feel like I'm optimistic about this team. I don't really have a reason, but mm-hmm. they really did have terrible injury luck last year.
Well, aren't they having it again though already?
Our guy's already hurt.
I think so. Hold on. I think Trey Murphy got hurt already. But I might be wrong. I might have made that up. But and then I know.
Oh yeah, Trey Murphy is hurt.
Yeah, he's out 12 weeks for a torn meniscus. So that's not good. He's like one of their best players. And then little Jose Alvarado, he's been hurt a lot.
He's been participating in the non-contact portions of practice, Joey.
Oh,
and
okay.
Larry Nance also has an injured ankle. Oh, and Najee Marshall has a bone bruise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not great. Do they? Is it haunted? Is the Smoothie King Arena haunted? Is that what we've discussed that before, haven't we?
I don't think it's haunted, but I think when they were designing it, they had the same acid trip they had in now I can't
think Jacob's of Ladder.
No, that's not a New Orleans movie. It's an Easy Rider. You know how they have the bad acid trip in New Orleans. Yeah. I think that's what was happening there.
They called in the bad lieutenant from the port of call to review the plans.
Another New Orleans movie with some acid trips in it.
Yeah.
Right, we've probably talked about Zion, this team too long. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Zion specifically, do you think he'll get it together this year?
I do not. I think I'm out on Zion forever now.
Yeah. Every logical thing says this, but I'm going to say it. I think he plays at least 55 games this year.
I mean, that would be awesome. They would be awesome. Every time he plays, the 15 games he plays,
they're
like one of the best teams in the NBA. That being said... go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead. This team just doesn't take enough threes, too. I know that's like a real knee-jerk analytic thing.
You want
Herb
Jones shooting more threes?
No, but I want Trey Murphy and CJ McCollum. Like, they have guys who are good at shooting threes. Jonas Valanciunas is good at shooting threes.
I guess.
I mean, for a center. Yeah.
Anyway, we got to move on. Their over-under is 44.5, Sean.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're taking the over, I take it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over and probably instantly regret it, but I'm doing it.
I'm taking big under. This team has big, big under energy to me.
I mean, they could really fall apart. I just think they had so much go wrong last year and they won 42 games. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's my haul.
Yeah, but they were supposed to be, they were last year's Thunder.
Yeah.
They're the Hawks. You know what I mean? It's only downhill when you mess up that second year. All right. The Dallas Mavericks, Sean, last year went 38-44. They tanked to miss the play-in. They were 24th in defense and 6th in offense. Unbelievable.
Sorry to cut you off, but I'm gonna say that maybe offensive rating is not the greatest stat. If the Mavericks were like a record-setting offense and were still sixth in the league last year.
That's they were pretty bad before they traded for Kyrie Irving, though. Remember, it was just like Luka Doncic dribbling for a really long time, which is a good offense still. And then also, you know, Kyrie Irving and him kept not playing in games together.
Yeah, they were 10-11 when they shared the court, I believe.
Yeah. All right. They had a lot of turnover, though, Sean.
Yeah.
They got rid of Davis Bertans. They got rid of Reggie Bullock. They got rid of Justin Holiday. They got rid of JaVale McGee. They got rid of Frankie Smokes.
Ooh.
How could they do it, Sean? Canceled and fired their third mascot. They opted to keep Mavs Man and cut Theo Pinson.
It's terrible.
Unbelievable.
The NBA is going to have to pass a rule against Mavs Man this next year. Yeah,
well, they definitely should do that anyway. And also they got rid of Christian Wood, who everyone hates all the time.
Yeah.
Coming in, though, don't worry. They're bringing in Grant Williams, the NBA's preeminent buff nerd. They are also bringing in rookies Derek Lively II and Olivier Maxence Prosper, who get ready to hear people talk about how good Omax Prosper is for the next 3 months and then never hear his name again because that's how the Dallas Mavericks work. They also brought in Derek Jones Jr. They also brought in Rishon Holmes. They brought in Seth Curry. They brought in Greg Brown. And Sean, my favorite addition, they got in. They're bringing in the X-Man, Dante Exum. Who I'm going to say right now, I am rooting for Dante Exum to be good. He's cool. He's had a rough go of it.
He has had some rough knee injuries and a rough injury caused by Gerson Yabusele.
Yeah. Sean, which Outstanding Comedy Series Emmy winner are the Dallas Mavericks?
The Dallas Mavericks are I Love Lucy. A wacky American gets paired up with a very talented immigrant who is constantly being derailed by the wacky American's crazy schemes. Dwight Powell is Ethel, and Mark Cuban would look like Fred Mertz without all the surgery.
Great.
You know that scene with Lucy and Ethel at the candy factory, and it goes too fast, and they have to start shoving candies in their mouths? That was Kyrie and KD with drugs.
Great.
And Kyrie also thinks Vitamita Vegemin is a cure for COVID.
Awesome. Good. I like it. So my first question, Sean.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd says he's going to start Kyrie and Luka and Grant Williams and at least one rookie. It's going to be Derek Lively. Is this a bad idea or a terrible one?
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
We saw, this is insane. It's not like either of these guys were super high picks either. They're like, oh, Olivier Maxence Prosper. Definitely a guy that should be coming in and stabilizing our defense. Like the 24th selection from Marquette. I mean, I guess it's like they think he's going to be Jay Crowder. I don't know. It's just like very rarely are rookies good at defense. And he was not really like all that good in summer league.
No.
And I mean, maybe his game, maybe like a good defender. It doesn't really.
Sean, I'm going to rephrase this question.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
How many games before Dwight Powell's their starting center again?
Three. I mean, the Council of Veteran Leaders is going to get together and make a statement. Yeah, we got to find. It's not clear who's on the council.
Yeah, we got to find out who's on the leadership council for sure.
Yeah. But also, Grant Williams didn't start last year either.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's like a starting caliber player, but he's not like.
I think he probably is.
But it's not like that's a big upgrade.
No. It's very weird that this team made the Western Conference Finals two years ago. And those Suns Mavs series, man. Those were haunted. You want to talk about haunted and cursed. The Suns-Mavs series, none of those guys are alive anymore on their teams.
They're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
So, Joey, I have a question for you. Last year, Dante Exum won a championship, a league championship, with Partizan Belgrade.
Great name.
His teammate was Alan Smilagic.
What?
Yes.
Smilagic won a championship?
Because he was with Dante Exum. That's mean, if he can do that, does that mean Dante Exum's back?
Yes. Dante's back, baby.
All right.
He's back. He's never been more back.
Okay, Joey, they made a lot of trades.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Dallas Mavericks better?
I don't think so.
Yeah, not really either.
But I have to admit, I am not a hooper. So I tend to rate Kyrie Irving much lower than people who, than hooper appreciators, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really seem like this team makes a ton of sense together.
Like, if I made YouTube shorts, I would think Kyrie Irving was, like, the best NBA player ever, right?
Right.
But I don't. So, in the preps versus greasers war that is podcasters versus YouTubers, we're firmly on team podcast.
We are. but yeah, these, like, if I were Luka Doncic, I think Seth Curry will probably be helpful.
Yeah.
But it's
weird. It was a team of, like, all these cool rangy wings around Luka Doncic, and now it's like,
A lot of
big men.
Yeah, they have three centers now. They got Maxi, Rishon Holmes, and
Lively.
Oh, and Lively. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then analytics freaks always kind of want him to play small ball center.
Yeah, I think part of that is because he had basically the worst athletic numbers at the combine.
Well, that's
and
true.
The other Patrick guy was Baldwin Ty Jr. Jerome.
Patrick Baldwin Jr. had
worse. I don't think he even. Well, he didn't do the combine things, right?
No, he did. He scored the lowest ever. I remember that from our name episode, and then the Warriors drafted him. But then it was because it turned out he was, like, so hurt he couldn't walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Sean, usually in year three in a team coached by Jason Kidd, the defense falls apart.
Yeah.
Was it a smart idea to just not put any defense on this team to counteract that?
What's crazy is they think they did.
I mean, Omax Prosper, he's this year's Usman Garuba, so, yeah, he's Draymond Green, right?
Yeah, but, like, doesn't it kind of seem like, I don't know, man. I guess there's, like, more guys, and they don't have Christian Wood anymore, but it doesn't really seem like their big man defense. A lot of their big man defense is, like, relying on a 19-year-old to protect the middle.
Well, no, it's relying on Maxi Kleber again. They still have Maxi Kleber for the 56 games he plays a year. Sean, over under 43.5.
I'm going under. I think this could be a real disaster.
You know, it's funny. I obviously sound so down on them. I think Luka Doncic just gets you 44 wins, though.
It is possible.
He's like the second best player in the league or whatever.
Yeah.
They
did make the conference finals 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they were significant. This supporting
that team was also, I was not high on. They had Davis Bertans, for Christ's sake.
Well, I will say they sort of reversed the vibes decision they made when they traded Porzingis. But that did give them Davis Bertans. So maybe that was that's like continuing the vibes on them. Mm-hmm. And you got to say, if you're going to have Kyrie Irving, have him in the first year of his contract.
Right. Yeah. You do not want him into the second to the last year of his contract. That's for sure.
You do not. Yes.
Sean, my final question.
Yes.
About the Dallas Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
Is, are the Dallas Mavericks going to retire Dwight Powell's number?
It's looking that way.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
Once again, he will maybe be the GM of the team because, again, he went to Stanford, and that is all it takes.
That is all it takes to become a GM in any company. All right, Rockets, Sean, last year went 22-60, good for 14th in the NBA, 27th. In offense, 29th in defense. Weird offseason. They got rid of Randy LeDoux's favorite player, DJ Augustin.
Uh-huh.
Willie Cauley-Stein, who I don't even remember being on the Rockets. Josh Christopher. Usman Garuba. These are two guys they just drafted.
Yeah.
Frank Kaminsky. KJ Martin, another guy they just drafted. Dacian Nix, another guy they just drafted. Ty Washington, another guy they just drafted. They picked him last year,
yeah.
And they paid the Thunder to get rid of abuser Kevin Porter Jr.
Basically, it was a large item pickup.
Yeah.
Like you do at with the trash.
Which, anytime you have to give a guy that contract, probably not the best idea to be giving it in the first place. But don't worry, they're bringing in Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. They're also bringing in Jock Landale, Reggie Bullock, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, who already had a monster dunk in the preseason.
Yeah.
Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, Nate Hinton, and rookie Jermaine Samuels.
Yeah.
Sean, which Outstanding Comedy Series Emmy winner is this?
Well, Joey, as you can imagine, in our fourth division, we're scraping the bottom a little bit. These guys are Caesar's Hour, which was Sid Caesar's follow-up to your show of shows that had a lot of young talent. Neil Simon, Danny Simon, I don't know if he is a great talent, Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, Woody Allen, and Larry Gelbart. But also, from what I can tell, this show didn't make any sense. They would have long sketches that ran more than half an hour, which is too long. Even for 1958, that was too long.
Yeah.
They had young writers and then a lot of old guys who were about to totally flame out. And much like Caesar's Hour, a lot of these guys probably are going to be great somewhere else. I mean, they just ditched five first round picks like this offseason, right? Isn't that five?
Yeah.
So like, and was that the plan the whole time, to use all their picks to get guys and then salary dump them so they could sign Dylan Brooks and Jeff Green? Like, was that really the master plan for the post-Harden era? I don't know. I mean, they're better because they were terrible and not trying for 3 years, but now it's a weird team. Like, it kind of seems like they signed a lot of guys because they could sign them. And at some point, clearly Ime Udoka got hired and said, please no James Harden, and also we're adding five veterans.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems, look, I am very into the fact that, like, to getting grown-ups when you have a young team, because it's obviously a mistake not to have grown-ups. Guys like Jeff Green, guys like Jock Landale, guys like Reggie Bullock are the best part. Like, you know how everyone was like going into this Warriors offseason, they were like, Chris Paul's gonna unlock Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
You know who Jonathan Kuminga has said this week is the veteran helping him the most, Sean?
Corey Joseph.
Rudy Gay.
Wow. So he's gonna make the opening day roster.
I think he's gonna make the opening day roster, probably. But
go ahead.
Those are the guys you need for like young players.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure Dylan Brooks is on that list.
Yeah, here's I have one Dylan Brooks question. That's it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is he just going to keep punching guys in the dick
now? Yeah.
Is that the new thing?
Sean, tell the listeners what happened.
He was ejected less than 5 minutes into his first preseason game with the Rockets for just whacking what's his name? Was it Aaron Baines? No, Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice. He just socked him in the groin, which he also got ejected from a game for doing to LeBron James in the playoffs because he didn't want to be a Memphis Grizzly anymore. And he also started a big brawl by doing that to Donovan Mitchell this year. So that just seems like what he's doing. And then after the game, he said that he called himself Dylan the Villain, which
Great. Love it.
Apparently is a nickname someone else had, and he said, what's my name? Dylan the Villain. Mm-hmm. He said he got ejected because of his reputation. Mm-hmm. But I think he got ejected for punching a guy in the dick. Because he does that all the time now. That's like, there's no one who's been, look, Chris Paul is a dick puncher for sure. But he's done it like 3 times in 15 years. Mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks has done it 3 times in 2003. I just don't, I don't know that he's like a teacher or anything.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the best veteran signing of the ones you made?
Honestly, I think it's Jeff Green.
Jeff Green is like a great move because they don't actually, like, getting Fred VanVleet and just spending a lot of money for 2 years, I'm like, whatever. Dylan Brooks for 4 years seems crazy because these guys should be passing him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas VanVleet, it's like they don't really have a... None of their young guys are really point guards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Jeff Green's perfect because he can come in and play, but he's not like blocking anyone.
Right.
And that's why the Jock Landale contract was also weird. He's almost not really even a vet exactly. But I get right. The, like getting Reggie Bullock for free, you know, a couple days ago, that's a better move than signing Dylan Brooks. Like, that's not that I'm even a big Reggie Bullock fan, but like, you want a guy that you can bench if one of the rookies is doing well.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be mad, you know? Anyway.
Sean.
Yeah.
I know you weren't ready for this, but.
Okay.
We're talking about the Rockets, and we haven't talked about them in a while.
It's Tillman time. That's right. Texas Tillman, Trump supporter, state house man, and billionaire buyer. Houston Rockets motherfucker. Tillman time.
How does Tillman describe himself?
A motherfucker.
All I do is win, win, win.
Tillman time.
All right, Sean. An update on Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta's year, because we haven't talked about him in a while. He passed on the Washington Commanders. He almost bought them for $5.6 billion. I don't know how.
Yeah,
he was going to get $5.6 billion.
Definitely not the Galveston mob.
He's currently talking to the NHL about bringing a hockey team to Houston.
Yeah,
it was reported 1 week ago. But don't worry, there's some bad news. And I guess, all right. This was a week ago. He had a lavish family mansion party and raised $1 million for the Houston police. So cool, cool guy, very Tillman. You know what they're doing? Ignoring what his family is up to for that $1 million.
Yeah, that's a well-timed investment in the police force, let's just say.
He tried to buy an old battleship that he was gonna put on Pier 21 in Galveston.
What do you think he'd name it, Joey?
Well, no, it was
Boardwalk.
Yes, but it's not for that. He was putting up a historic board. He owns Pier 21 in Galveston, which is like a tourist trap full of restaurants.
They killed the old owner. Allegedly.
So he was trying to buy this old warship to put it on there. As part of like a tourism thing. Mm-hmm. And the port of Galveston rejected it. Even though there are already a bunch of weird old boats there that he owns to bring people to Landry's.
So they were kind of like, this is too many weird boats.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I thought of this idea and Googled him as you were reading about what Emmy he came up with, because I didn't really want to talk about this team.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were due. But the big there's some bad news, Sean. This happened September 25th. I don't know how we missed it.
Oh boy. Okay.
A woman in Colorado is suing Landry's chain. Well, actually, she's not doing it. Sorry. The EEOC is suing Landry's chain, which, of course, is the Equal Opportunity Commission. Because people at Landry's were making fun of how she spoke and looked and her accent because she's Iranian.
Ooh.
The suit accuses Landry's managers and supervisors of routinely and openly mocking the woman at an Englewood, Colorado Landry's. The human resources, the Landry's HR department failed to take action. The employee complained and then fired her.
Classic Tillman.
Classic Tillman.
Step on their throats and then cut their throats.
How does Tillman describe himself? Islamophobic.
Joey, what should they name the NHL team?
Boardwalk.
Yeah, you don't have to have a plural, right?
No, they're the Houston NHL Boardwalk.
Boardwalk.
I guess that's our Tillman time for now. Sean, is there anything you're excited about with this Houston Rockets team?
I kind of am. Like, I feel like they're going to be playing actual basketball games this year, because watching them was like watching a summer league team for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, the games just didn't have any real drama to them. Because there were a couple times when the Warriors would, like, trail by 20 points and at no point was I ever like, oh no, they're in trouble.
I
actually went to a game where Steph Curry had to hit a game winner. And even that whole time, I was kind of like, come on.
I think Amen Thompson is going to be really good, actually. I was out on the Thompson twins, and then I saw them both play basketball, and they are cool. They're kind of like if robots were point guards.
They're fun. I think they're going to be really fun. I've amended my stance on Jabari Smith.
Oh, see, I have not. He was good in summer league. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. He just seems sleepy, man.
I think he was just a little bit of a raw prospect coming out, and I'm excited to see him disappoint me this season and prove you right. But well, I'd like to see it.
Over under 31.5. This team is trying, Sean.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to look at one thing real quickly. So they... Oh, okay. What is the status of their own first round pick next year? They have... Okay. They would have to be one of the worst four teams to keep their first round pick. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it goes to Oklahoma City. They do have Brooklyn's picks. Mm-hmm. And they have the Warriors' second round pick somehow. I don't know how that happened, but I'm saying under. I think it's not going to work.
I also say under. It's just their best player is Dylan Brooks. What are we doing? Of course it's going to be under.
I'm excited about, like, I mean, even the guys I like on the team are all like 19 or 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And even with veterans, like, that's rough. Even if you're playing all the veterans, that's terrible.
Okay, Sean. Look, our next team is the San Antonio Spurs. Last year they went 22-60. Good for 29th in offense, 30th in defense. They got rid of not Wemby and added Wemby.
Yeah.
Which outstanding comedy series Emmy winner are they?
They are the Wonder Years. Joey, this next season is going to be a coming of age story about a wide-eyed French giant and his best friend, Zach Collins, who later will become a scary goth rocker and have a rib removed so he can suck his own dick.
It's a funny joke that, again, only like 40% of our audience is going to get, but I loved it, Sean.
Thank you.
Sean, have you watched any of the preseason games for this team?
I have only just watched like Wembanyama highlights.
Well, so you have not really been paying attention to the fact that they're kind of playing point Sohan.
Yeah, I read about that. I have to say I just couldn't be bothered to make an opinion about their point guard. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have, like, when you're the worst brother of an NBA player who has basically the exact same name as you, mm-hmm. That's a tough one, I feel like, right? Mm-hmm. They're brothers, right? Am I?
Yes. Right. Tyus Jones' brother is the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah. Point Sohan seems so weird.
It's insane. I love it. You know me. I want as many people who aren't point guards playing point guard and as many small guys playing bigs as possible.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. It's kind of it still seems like they'll be pretty bad. Like
yes.
It does not seem like there's really they almost like intentionally didn't get any veteran help really.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not even gonna ask another question, Sean. Okay. Except for this, it's the place we have to bring it up, I think.
Oh yeah.
The highlights for Big Vic have been insane so far. Love it. Uh-huh. Is he gonna win Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I think he is.
You know what? I'm taking Chet, baby.
Oh.
I just think the fact that that team is going to win, and I think Chet's, I'm just feeling, look, I'm really taking the field, but I'm taking Chet. I think Chet's going to win Rookie of the Year.
I just can't believe in Honest Abe. I think Honest Abe is gonna visit Ford's Theater at some point in this rookie season.
Abraham Lincoln, French Giant Killer. You don't.
I have one question.
Sure.
Greg Popovich is almost surely going to introduce Victor Wembanyama to a bunch of wonderful wine. Mm-hmm. However, he is not 21 years old. Joey. Mm-hmm. Should the police in San Antonio arrest Greg Popovich if he gives Victor Wembanyama wine?
Yes. Yeah. That is the perfect question to end this on. Over under 29.5, Sean.
Under.
Under. Big under.
Not even close, I think.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't even really want to win.
Yeah. And I've heard they're not gonna play Wemby that much.
I mean, why would you? Like he also has a weird body. Protect that weird guy.
Yeah.
Don't let him bang.
Protect that weird guy. But yeah, that's the reason I think. The other reason I think Chet, Sean, for Rookie of the Year, you know why. It's
For the first time in my team up with your friends and your favorite cards in the brand new Triple Threat Online co-op.
Yeah, that's Josh Giddey's finally got someone to play co-op with on the Triple Threat courts.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
That's our episode. This was a long one, Sean.
Oh,
is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'll be, you know what? I'm going to plug these things. I'll be doing two shows at Comedy Oakland on October 27th. I will be at the Punchline from November 8th. Through 11th with three different headliners on that strain. I would say maybe check out the Jermaine Fowler show on November 9th. And then I'll be doing Critical Hit at It's Your Move Games on November 18th.
And as for me, I was on the Frotcast Patreon this week with Vince Mancini, and not Matt Lieb, weirdly. He was out of town. I guess I was replacement Lieb. And then also listen to Unsalvageable, the Utah Jazz podcast I produce with our friend Sarah Todd and Dad Sham Dad himself, Greg Foster. Read Sean at goldenstateofmind.com and the SF Giants one I can never remember the name of.
Giants Baseball Insider.
Oh, that should be an easy. I should remember that. That's easy.
I never remember it myself, so. I'm like the Giants blog.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I'm sorry I got a bummer one to read. Like an actual sad one, not... not the typical Frankie. Well, and my race was finished this evening. I had many missed calls from members of my family. At 4:42 p.m., right as we were taking the green flag, my grandmother passed away. She was the most supportive person of everything I've done in my life, and I hope I made her proud. And I just want to say, Frankie, you definitely made your grandmother proud. Best wishes in this trying time for you. Trust the process. Oh, Sean, did you write a song?
I didn't write a song.
Well, what song do you want me to play?
You know, I think the best one for this one is, play Leaving on the Team Plane, my John Denver song about Kyrie Irving saying goodbye to the Boston Celtics.
Great, will do. Let's play under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Send Kevin Porter Jr. and Miles Bridges the fuck home. Forever. And also, we didn't even talk about the Rockets hired Ime Udoka. Also bad vibes. Get out of here, Tillman.
My bags were packed in March. I'm ready to go. We got punk pie on Antetokounmpo. Beantown is so racist, it blows my mind. But the Knicks are calling, James Dolan's my bro. Gordon Hayward's falling, he heals so slow. If you think Jaylen Brown's a star, then you're blind. So rip me anonymously. Tell them you won't miss Kyrie. Boo me like I ate the last potato. 'Cause I'm leaving on the team plane. I've got to make sure my family's safe. Oh, I'm doing what humans do. Bill Simmons wants me to disappear. Somehow he prefers Terry Rozier. I heard he's been short-selling MSG shares. Marcus Smart came back, he was pretty fat. Aaron Baines don't think the world is flat. I shot 19 for 62. Who cares? So rip me anonymously. Watch me brick another three. I got booed by so many sunburned bros. 'Cause I'm leaving on the team plane. One more heart attack for Danny Ainge. Oh, Chipotle, he loves you so. Now the time has come to blow this joint. I'm forfeiting all my Tommy points. Paul Pierce says that Genie thunked worldwide wob. A lot of people say the garden's heaven. I think it's worse than 9/11. Come on, sheeple, that was an inside job. Oh, rip me anonymously. Tell me about the Illuminati. There's more chemtrails than there've ever been before. 'Cause I'm leaving on the team plane. No more timeouts listening to House of Pain. Cheers wasn't that great a show. But I'm leaving on the team plane. Jason Tatum disappears like David Blaine. Oh, babe, I'm a herbivore.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.